We're studying the book of Matthew, and we're doing it because it is a book that tells us about Jesus Christ. And we're Christians, and we believe that we need to know everything we can about Jesus Christ, all the prophecies of the Old Testament, and all of the circumstances concerning his birth, his life, what he said, the way he reacted to trouble and problems, the way he treated other people, and as I said this morning, the way other people treated him, his reactions to this kind of treatment. All of these are important. All of them are necessary to study all of these things so that we may indeed live the kind of life that Jesus lived. We can look in many books and find a lot of good advice. We can look in some books and find a lot of bad advice. But we can look in the book of books, the Word of God, and we can always be sure that the advice and the teaching that we receive from it is just exactly what God wants. And that's why it's important for us to study the books of the Bible, and especially in order to know who Christ is, to study these Gospels. This morning, we looked at the character of Mary. We know the Bible tells us that she was a virgin. But as we consider the husband of Mary, Joseph, we know the Bible tells us that he was a just man. In verse 19 of chapter 1, the Bible reads, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man." If you want to know why Joseph could do the things that he did, you want to know why he was able to accept not only what Mary said, but what God said concerning what he wanted him to do, then this word will explain Joseph. And that word is just. It's used throughout the Bible. Paul used it in Romans when he spoke of the just and of being justified. And it is a word that means fulfilling all claims which are right and becoming. It really means conforming to God's word. It means a person who's willing to do what is right, and a person who is declared righteous because they have their faith in Jesus Christ. Joseph had his faith in Messiah, the coming one. Joseph had his faith in Christ, the anointed one. And because of that, he was a just man. But now this person who will die and pay his sin debt is going to come and live in his house. Here's a man who's trusting the promise of God, and who's going to have in his household and in his own hands, and then under his instruction for 30 years or so, this one who is the only begotten Son of God. So the husband of Mary, as the scriptures tell us here, was a just man, and not willing to make her a public example. Remember, the scriptures tell us that when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So Mary and Joseph are contractually engaged, but they have not yet had the ceremony that celebrates their union. And now Mary is with child. And Joseph, who is a just man, is not willing to make her a public example. The word willing here doesn't mean that it was all right with Joseph. It means that Joseph willed to protect Mary, that it was his purpose. I think you can substitute the word purpose and not purposing not to publicly humiliate her. So it wasn't just that Joseph decided he wouldn't do anything and be very passive about this. It means that Joseph had a decision to make. He made a decision, and that decision was number one, this: I will not tell others about Mary's condition so as to humiliate her publicly. The word public example here means to expose publicly and therefore to humiliate. She also would have been considered an adulteress because Joseph had not yet had any physical contact with her. So she would have been exposed to physical danger because, according to the law of Moses, she could have been stoned to death. But Joseph, being a just man, and all the things that implies, kind and merciful and good in his heart, and right with God, and wanting to do what's right, I think he loved Mary. And he said, I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm not going to humiliate her. I'm going to do the very best I can to protect her in this circumstance. But the Bible tells us that he was minded to put her away privately. Now, this simply means that he resolved. This was minded means that he decided. He made a resolution. He came to the conclusion that what he would do would put her away, which means that he would let her go free. And privately, of course, is secretly or by stealth. Goodspeed translated it this way: he decided to break off the engagement privately. She would just go into hiding, and he would go his way, and that would be the end of the matter. I can imagine the grief and the pain that Joseph was feeling as he tried to arrive at what would be best for him and best for Mary and best for God and best for everybody involved. So he was thinking these things. He was purposing. He was deciding. He didn't wish to humiliate her or to expose her to the law of Moses where she might be stoned. But I'm sure there was an ache in his heart. And while all of this was going on, and the scriptures tell us in verses 22 and 21, but while he thought on these things, he had arrived at certain conclusions, but he wasn't really sure. So he's still considering. He's still saying, is this the right thing? Have I made the right decision? There's still an element of confusion in his mind. And at this time, the Bible tells us, behold. And that's a very strong word. It's an imperative, and it means to look and to listen, to stop and think. It's an attention getter. It's as though God shouts, look, listen. And Joseph then, as he stops and listens, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Notice, he calls her thy wife. In other words, you have, by social contract, agreed that you will marry her, and she has agreed that she will marry you. The ceremony is set. Do not be afraid to take her to be your wife. The angel of the Lord really appeared or shed light on the issue while he was in his sleep. And the dream, of course, means that he had a vision. The genealogy of Moses, of Joseph, is reaffirmed here. Joseph, thou son of David, emphasizing that there is a reason for you to go ahead and marry Mary. And here's the reason. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And again, the word conceived means to bear or to bring forth a child. Her child is from the Holy Spirit. Someone has said, if you really want to know if Jesus was virgin born, ask Joseph, because he's the one who had to be convinced in order not to create a public scene or humiliate Mary. And the angel got his attention. Behold, stop, look, listen, consider that which is conceived. And he didn't say, he didn't give any words that were different if it had been a conception of their union. So this is not something that you look at theologically differently than you would look at it just physically. It's not theology in the sense of it has different words and different meanings. No, no, no. The angel of God, the messenger, said, that which you have been told of, do not be frightened by this information. Do not be frightened by these circumstances, because her conception is by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, Joseph is a just man. Is he going to accept this? Is he going to believe the angel? Is he going to believe Mary? Yes, he is. Why? Because he's a man of faith. And he exercises the faith. He has faith in God. He has faith in the messenger of God. He has faith in the innocence of Mary. Notice, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, not her, but thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehoshua, or we would say Joshua, which means Jehovah the Savior. Now remember that in the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, it is, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Here it is, thou shalt call his name, or thou shalt name him Jesus. These are two words that mean different things. The word Jesus or Joshua, which is the way we see it in our Bibles, in the book of Joshua, means Jehovah the Savior. While Emmanuel is a word that means God with us. So just think. Here, the very name that he has in it the idea of salvation or deliverance or making safe or saving, while the other name in the book, in the Old Testament book, has in it the idea of God in God's presence among us, God with us, not God around us somewhere, but literally God with us. So Jesus, Jehovah, the saving God, Emmanuel, the God who is in our midst, the God who is among us. And that's his mission. For he shall save his people from their sins. You know, we haven't gotten but just 21 verses into the first book of the New Testament. And much of it has been devoted to the genealogy. And in the annunciation of Christ being born of a virgin and coming into the world, God gets to the heart of the reason for his son coming into the world, and that is to save it. He doesn't wait for 5 or 10 chapters to go by until he finally articulates the reason that he's having his self born into the world, but he shall save his people from their sins. And you say, what does this mean? It means exactly what we've always thought it means. It means that he's going to save the people of Israel and the Gentiles through the line of Abraham from their sins. And the word here means failure or shortcoming. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here in the very first chapter, there is the annunciation and the statement, plain and simple. Why did Jesus come? Now, it doesn't tell all of the reasons that he came. I think when we think about Jesus sitting on the throne, reigning and ruling the world, that we think of his being the son of David. When we think about his being the son of Abraham, we think about the seed that would come that's promised in the third chapter of Genesis, the seed that's going to bruise the head of the serpent. We think of the seed that's going to be the redemptive price for our sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. We look briefly this morning at the statement in verses 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, that is, everything that occurred, everything that's been prophesied, they spoke the Lord's mind in this matter. They gave God's purpose and they gave God's plan. But everything that has occurred up until this point, that is, what all has happened with Mary, what all has happened with Joseph, all the information has been given because all of these, this circumstance had been prophesied. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The word that's translated in virgin here is parthenos, which literally means a virgin. As I said this morning, the word is translated virgin in Isaiah 7:14 is a Hebrew word, alma, which means young woman. And there have been people who have argued that since the scripture in Isaiah said young woman, that it didn't mean a virgin. And therefore, this was just what the disciples of Jesus had made up in order to make him look better than he really was. But when Matthew writes, he doesn't write in Hebrew and he doesn't use the Hebrew word meaning young maiden or young woman, which is the presumption of being a virgin, but he literally uses the word that means virgin. So the idea that the language will not bear out the prophecy is absurd because the explanation of its fulfillment is given by Matthew under the inspiration of God, and he wrote by inspiration and he used the word virgin. So we don't have to have any doubts as to the veracity of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It is prophesied and it is fulfilled in the word of God. Notice now the obedience of Joseph. In verse 24, the Bible tells us, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, which simply means he didn't loose her. He didn't set her apart from himself. He took her to himself. It doesn't mean that they consummated the marriage at that time, but he had been considering loosing her so that she could go into hiding privately and not be humiliated. Now he's not going to loose her. Now he's going to take her to himself, and they're going to be together side by side in this circumstance. Joseph believed God. Joseph believed Mary, and he submitted to God's will and did what God said. Now the explanation of their relationship. And Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was a man of faith. Joseph was a just man. Mary was a virgin and submissive and obedient to God. Here are two people who in their obedience and submission and faith are going to create by God's divine will a family. And this family is going to have in it the firstborn, named Jesus, who is God with us. And we don't know about the circumstances of his family life as a child. We encounter him again at 12 years old, as we'll be seeing. But it was a home like your home and like my home. It was where the husband and the wife were, where Jesus was, and then later other children were born into the family. So it was a real home, a real family, with a real mother and Joseph, who was, as is supposed, the scriptures say, his father. They lived, ate, slept, and laughed, and cried. Jesus was a human, not a superhuman in his growing up, but a human. He didn't do miracles. He didn't call attention to himself. But everyone kept in their heart these sayings. You know, it might have been something like Abraham and Sarah. You know, they finally despaired that they were ever going to have a child because they were past the age when they biologically could have a child. And I imagine Mary and Joseph may have thought and wondered, here's a 30-year-old man that's still at home. And we understood that he was going to be God's only begotten son. We understood that he was going to save the people from their sins. We understand that he was going to be the one who would sit upon his father David's throne. I'm sure they remembered all these statements. And yet, it was a long time before they were fulfilled. You know, God, we're in a hurry, I guess, for everything to happen. But God is never in a hurry. People have said that God is never late, and that's true, but he's never early either. So in life and in our dealings with God, God has made promises. But let us not get discouraged nor impatient when we do not see the fulfillment according to our timetable. But let us wait upon God, trusting him, loving him, serving him, fulfill all of his promises in his own good time.